Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Hey, welcome to Country Squire Radio. I am Bo.
And I'm John David.
And, man, John, I'm excited to be here.
Man, I'm fired up, dude. This is great. Second edition.
So last week, you know, we really kind of talked about the history of the Country Squire.
Yeah.
And, dude, that was awesome.
I got a lot of interesting feedback from that. People are like, I didn't know that. They've come up to me again in the shop since then.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you know, we've gotten some questions, too. And near the end of the show, we'll attempt to answer at least one of those questions. But,
that's right.
You know, we ended last week talking about, coming back this week and talking about blends. Cause one of the great things about the Country Squire is that you guys have your own custom blends that you really can't find anywhere else.
That's right. A lot of, a lot of smoke shops, they'll actually buy bulk tobacco blends and just take them right out of a bag and put them into a jar. Sometimes they'll, or into bags to distribute. Sometimes they'll name them something different to give you the impression that they're their own blends. Almost all of our blends are actually custom blends that we blend in the shop. And, we're kind of picky about what we do. And a lot of that is just, over the years, we've just developed different stuff that we just really like. And people come in and they want a custom deal and we just, you know, we try to make it. So
has the Country Squire been blending since day one or?
Yeah. Since 1970. And, you know, I think some of the first blends were a little rough. They kind of had to get the edges worked off there for a while, but, yeah, we sure have. So, it's been going a long time.
What right now is the oldest blend that y'all still sell?
Well, it'd be Cherokee. And I describe Cherokee. People ask me, what's your best selling blend? And I always talk about Cherokee. Cherokee is our number one selling tobacco, and it's a pipe smoker's tobacco. So it's one of those tobaccos. It's got black Cavendish in it, so it's certainly, you know, mild aromatic. But it's one of those that, you know, is you can smoke every day. It's not going to get old. It doesn't wear you out with, you know, casing or these crazy flavors. And so we've had Cherokee for a long time. The cool thing about Cherokee is as they were developing it, they came up with three Cherokee blends. They couldn't make up their mind on which one they liked the best.
Right.
And so initially we had Cherokee number one, Cherokee number two, and Cherokee number three.
Sounds like a Pimm's cup.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's funny, people still to this day come in asking for Cherokee number one or Cherokee number two.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Yeah.
And so, what eventually happened is Cherokee number two became the best seller. So somewhere, I believe in the 80s, we actually made Cherokee number two. We just named it Cherokee, and we renamed Cherokee number one Choctaw.
Ah.
And Cherokee number three didn't sell too great, so we just got rid of it.
Yeah.
But in Mississippi, for those of y'all in other parts of the world, we have the Mississippi Band of Choctaw Indians, and so we named Cherokee number one in honor of them. We changed it to Choctaw. Cherokee number two actually was named after the street that our founder grew up on,
which
is East Cherokee Street in Brookhaven, Mississippi. She was a Brookhavenite. She called it the home seeker's paradise, and I'm sure it is. Brookhaven's a beautiful town. So, but anyway, Cherokee, it derives its name from there. And, yeah, so the old timers, you know, some of our customers that have been shopping with us for, you know, 35 years, they still come in and say, give me a pound of Cherokee number two, you know. And so that's what we sell them.
And the secret code for the in crowd.
That's right. That's right.
Good. Now, and as you're, you know, you've been a tobaccoist for some time now. Have you actually?
It's a tobacconist. You got to learn how to put the in there.
Tobacconist. Tobacconist. Good, good. See, this is good. It's all about education.
Absolutely.
So you've been a tobacconist for quite some time now.
Well, yeah, you know, it's been a couple of years now since I've been at the Squire, and, you know, my deal is I've been a pipe smoker since I was 18. And so I want to do stuff, because people enjoy it. Not necessarily because it's kind of the avant-garde, you know, whatever kind of the most, prim and proper thing to do. We do a lot of blends that are aromatic in the shop because in the South, you know, we love sweet stuff, aromatic tobacco.
Absolutely.
So it's a good fit for us. You know, it just kind of depends on what people like and enjoy. But yeah, so I've learned a lot in the last couple of years, you know, but definitely am no expert. That's why, you know, what's cool about this, about our time on Country Squire Radio is that we get to open it up to our listeners through questions and feedback. You know, if we don't know something, man, we want the pipe community out there
Absolutely.
To like, man, please chime in. We want y'all to contribute. So anyway, this week we've kind of started opening up to other people to contribute and ask questions. And you can email us at countrysquire1970@gmail.com. And please submit, like, you know, questions, or if you have any interesting information about the pipe world or tobacco world out there, or any other thoughtful stuff, because pipe smokers tend to be more thoughtful people. Man, we want you to contribute. And certainly if I say something that you disagree with, we need to know your thoughts so we can get in a pipe fight.
So I've actually got a question for you.
Yeah.
You know, throughout history, we've had some famous pipe smokers. You know, we mentioned Tolkien last episode, but of course you got Bing Crosby.
Right.
Is it Crosby or Cosby, actually, now that I say
Bing
that?
Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby, that's right. And then of course, some great fictional smokers like Sherlock Holmes. Who is your personal pipe smoking hero, be it fiction or nonfiction? who's your kind of your favorite?
I'd probably have to go with C.S. Lewis.
Lewis,
you know, being it's funny, being kind of an Anglican personally, Lewis just really I get attracted to a lot of his works.
Now, we
naturally,
Presbyterians,
anyway.
we dig on Lewis as well.
I know. Y'all like Lewis too, so we can kind of share the heritage there.
But, absolutely.
Yeah, Lewis is awesome. He was just one of the most thoughtful writers of the 20th century and avid pipe smoker. Him and Tolkien, I think, would burn it up in a pub probably somewhere in London, just tearing up some heavy English pub ales and talking about theology. So and great fiction. But yeah, Lewis is awesome. I love C.S. Lewis. Interestingly enough, Gerald Ford too was a very big pipe smoker, as was Mississippian William Faulkner.
And, of course, yeah.
Faulkner liked a Dunhill pipe. He smoked Dunhill.
A Dunhill pipe is...
Dunhill is kind of like, you know, now, over the 20th century, you had like real huge pipe companies kind of start developing into the Cadillac, if you will, of pipes. Dunhill, Sheraton, those were companies that kind of rose to the top as far as their game goes. Dunhill still exists, make some of the best pipes in the world. They're still a big company. And so it's interesting. What we see in our shop is a lot of people that want a very fine pipe, they'll still come in and ask for Dunhills. But, a lot of the really, you know, a lot of the people that are looking for a really unique find nowadays, they really don't want something by a big company. They want something that's made by the carver kind of in their backyard in, you know, northern Italy that works out of their shed or something, you know what I mean? And makes 200 pipes a year. Whereas Dunhill's a big company. They crank them out, but their standards are so exquisitely high that any pipe you get from them is just, it's going to be a beautiful work of art.
Awesome. So that was Lewis's pipe of choice.
That was Faulkner's pipe of choice.
Faulkner, yeah.
And he smoked, I believe, Dunhill 965, which is a mixture. It's got Latakia in it, which is a real robust kind of heavy tobacco, which probably gave him some inspiration for like Sound and the Fury and all that other crazy stuff he wrote. So.
That's the great thing about all these writers, as they were either actively writing or at least actively thinking about what they're going to write. You can attribute a lot of various pipe tobacco and,
I think so. Yeah. And also I love looking at some of those, pictures of Congress meeting in the '70s. Like they're, you know, you look at them and of course, you know, no one hardly smokes indoors in public places anymore.
Oh no, especially not in Jackson, Mississippi.
Our shop is definitely an exception to that, but, but yeah, you know, you look in the indoor, these, you know, congressional hearing meetings that they've got these pictures of from the '70s and everyone's holding a pipe.
Sure.
And the room is full of pipe smoke and it's just so cool. The power in there and the mystique of it, you know, just, I look back on that and just long to be in there just smelling what those guys are smoking.
Absolutely, man. I think if we went back to, everybody carrying around a pipe, and either a top hat or a bowler cap or something.
Right. Like I see your bowler hat sitting over there.
I'll be busting that out at the Celtic Fest coming up.
As you should.
Yeah,
as you should.
Absolutely. Well, good. Yeah. You know, I've always been a fan of Bing Crosby. And especially around Christmas time, movies like Holiday Inn or White Christmas.
Right.
And he's going around, he's smoking that square pipe.
Right. And Savinelli actually came out. Savinelli, of course, big pipe maker. They make, like we talked about, kind of the Honda Accord of pipes. Like, you know, lots of pipes, crank them out, but they're really good, really consistent briar. And Savinelli came out with a pipe years ago called Bing's Favorite.
Is that right?
And I actually own one. It's probably my favorite aromatic pipe. And aromatics tend to smoke a little hotter for me anyway. That Bing's Favorite pipe has just enough of a longer stem to where it kind of cools that smoke down a little bit before it gets to your mouth. So, man, that thing smokes fine. I love it. Yeah. And I feel like I'm channeling him, like his spirit, you know, when I smoke it. I'm not nearly as cool, but
right. Oh, yeah. No, it's on my to-get list. I've got, you know, the thing is, I don't smoke nearly as much as you know.
A tobacconist. Yeah.
A tobacconist. Well, the thing is, I've got, I want to say probably 6 pipes. I like collecting the pipes and I don't smoke them very much, but, you know, if I'm going fishing, I've got the very long stem, not necessarily the churchwood.
The churchwarden.
But the straight, when it's a straight long stem.
Right.
Is that also a churchwarden?
Yeah. There are churchwardens that are straight. You've got bent and straight churchwardens.
Gotcha. But that's my go-to whenever I'm fishing or putting together like a,
and you know, that's, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Because anytime I'm putting together like a fire pit or something like that.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've really got 2 types of pipe smokers, right? And this is where people, you know, they get kind of hung up. They think pipe smokers, you know, are either just like cigar smokers where they do it just occasionally, or it's their everyday thing. And really, that you've got both. You've got both kinds. So we've got customers, man, and friends that come in, and they'll come in 3 times a year and get an ounce of tobacco, and it's because they're going camping with some guys and they want to go out and sit in the woods and burn some meat and set stuff on fire and smoke a pipe.
Yeah.
And that's kind of their thing. And then we've got folks like me, so you might fit more into that category, whereas, you know, it's not a daily ritual thing, but it's a relaxation, kind of a special event type of thing.
Yeah.
Me, man, I'm a 4 times a day guy, you know, I'm tearing it up. So part of that, you know, is just the beauty of working in a pipe shop. But, you know, part of that too, man, in the morning time when I get up, you cannot keep me away from my pipe and my cup of coffee.
Sure.
Like it's a part of my ritual.
Absolutely.
Know? Yeah.
So one last question as it relates to blends. In your time, have you actually developed a custom blend?
Yeah. We've developed, several actually, and some of those have been with the help of some of my friends and our customers.
Sure.
We've kind of worked on some of that, but, since I've managed a shop, we've done quite a few. The cool thing about blending tobacco is it's like you're almost like a alchemist or something. You get a chemist, you know, you play with all these different ingredients and it's a lot of fun. So it's one of the most fun things we do. You've got all different types of tobacco. There's Virginias, there's Burleys, there's Latakia, Orientals, and all these different types. And then within that, you've got different cuts. And so you've got, you know, tobaccos that are ribbon cut, tobaccos that are cubed, tobaccos that are chopped, tobaccos that are pressed. And then you've also got, tobaccos that have different types of curing process. You know, any type of food or any type of consumable product pretty much has to be cured just so it can be prepared for consumption. And curing just takes it from a, kind of green plant into something that you can put in your pipe and smoke it. Wow, people say that all the time. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. but yeah, you know, curing is that's kind of the process. And there's like, you know, fire curing and flu curing and air curing and all these things. And so anyway, all that's pipe geek stuff to where basically you've got different types of tobacco. Some burn faster, some burn slower. Some burn cooler, some burn hotter, some have a lot of flavor, some have more nicotine. It just kind of depends on where in that spectrum. And so my job as a blender is to kind of, you know, think about, okay, what characteristics do I want a tobacco to have? And then I get to pick out, okay, well, I know I need to combine this and this. Those two play well together because this one's slow burning, but this one's going to have more flavor kind of thing. So, you just get to mix all those together. It's a lot of fun. It's, I feel like I'm, you know, searching for the, you know, some kind of treasure. And then when I find it, it's awesome.
Cool, man.
Yeah. We've created, several in the past couple of years. Like, we've done that. We've done Indian Outlaw. I'm trying to think. Parsons Blend. I made actually, for my pastor, an Anglican priest that comes to our shop and happens to be my pastor. He's a pipe smoker and wanted something that his wife would let him smoke in the house because he, you know, some things are kind of offensive. And, so we came up with something, we called it Parsons Blend, and it's been a big hit. And, as a matter of fact, I've got all these pastors now all over the country that actually order from us.
Oh, that's great.
And that they hear of Parsons Blend, they, you know, they're like, well, I've got to smoke that. You know, so they get it. It's a really good even keel tobacco, a little bit of cased Virginias and stuff in there, but, lots of burley, real soft, gentle smoke. So it's a great tobacco.
Great.
Yeah.
Good deal.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, you know, like you mentioned earlier in the program, we've started getting some questions in.
Yeah.
And I think we've got time for one question here. This comes from a Brad M., and I'm going to pretend like I don't know who that is.
We love Brad M. Brad M. is he comes to the shop at least three times a week, maybe sometimes four or five times a week, but we love him.
Well, he asks an excellent question, especially for newcomers. You can go from $30 to $400 and up on a pipe. Yeah. What makes a difference in value?
Yeah, and that is a good question, because so many people, you know, like for instance, you walk into our shop, and for those of you who haven't been in our shop, it's like walking into a jewelry store. There are cases, like what look like jewelry cases, all over our shop, but instead of jewelry, it's all very fancy pipes. And so you're like, you see some for $30 and you see some for, you know, $500, and then you've got some corncob pipes, and it's like, what on earth is the deal here? pipe, you know, the thing that kind of gives pipes their value, and I'd love to get some feedback from some of our listeners too. Please email us your thoughts as well. But, you know, in my mind and what I've experienced just as I've collected my own pipes and had the difference is, companies and carvers that like to get very high quality briar, that's been aged for a long time. That is a really key thing. So most pipes in America are, and really in the Western world are made of briar. And briar, for, you know, people hear the term like briar wood. There's a street named Briar Wood in our city here. Briar is actually the root, the top part of the root of the white heath tree, which is grown only in the Mediterranean area. So, it's kind of interesting. People think like, oh, you just cut out and carve a piece of wood from a tree, but it's a specific tree, mostly grown in countries like, Italy, Yugoslavia, Spain, France, Greece, kind of all Algeria, Tunisia, all along the Mediterranean there. And it's got this, this burl on top of the root. I know I'm getting real technical here.
No, it's great.
But, it's this burl on top of the root that, has just this beautiful grain, tends to be pretty dense. And, most remarkably is heat resistant and breathes really well. And I don't know how they figured all that out. But anyway, someone along the way started, you know, carving these pipes out of briar. And I think that eventually briar pipes, you know, up until I think about the mid 1800s, you had a lot of clay pipes and certainly meerschaum pipes, but, around the mid 1800s, you start to see a briar as kind of the medium of choice there. And, you know, so if you can find a really good piece of briar, which is that root of the heath tree, they actually dig it out of the ground. And, you know, one that doesn't have a lot of flaws, people typically pay for more grain. And the tighter the grain is, typically the more coveted that briar is. And so you've got two types of grain, one, or some people say three, straight grain, which is where all of it goes into kind of lines, going, you know, in one direction. Flame grain, which is kind of a variant of straight grain, if you will. It looks more, the grains are kind of going in the same direction, but they're kind of looks like something you'd see over a campfire or something.
Sure.
And then you've got bird's eyes, which are these little round ends of the grain that kind of pop out. And the tighter those are, the tighter that configuration is, the more, coveted that piece of briar is. And so, you know, that's kind of a lot of that is what you're paying for, but also just a lot of the quality of the briar, which doesn't necessarily correlate to the grain. It's kind of, you know, there's a differing school of thought about that. Some people think really, really beautiful grain translates into a better smoke. You've got people that will fight you that will say that is not the case. And that,
right.
You know, as long as a briar is, very well aged, you know, and has released a lot of its natural saps and all that kind of thing, that it's going to smoke cooler. And that's, in my opinion, that's really the key. I mean, I'm sure
that's where the value is.
That's where the value is. You want a pipe that's going to be light and smokes cool. That's kind of what I look for. And typically the longer a pipe has been, the briar has been aged before it's carved, it gets rid of a lot of that, just the natural, you know, kind of fluids and stuff in the wood. And then they're able to carve something that's just going to smoke a lot cooler and last longer. And so typically, you know, some of these companies age a block of briar before you carve it. They'll age it for 50, 60, 70 years.
Now, when they age it, is there a specific aging process?
Yeah, there's different kinds. So you've got some companies that kind of speed it up. Like they'll actually put briar in a room with like these fires and kind of actually heat it up.
Okay.
So some of your more, you know, companies that just don't really focus on the high-end products as much, they'll do that just to kind of speed the process up.
And I would guess that means if you're heating it up, that's going to liquefy the sap and make it
– kind of – yeah. The idea is kind of, you know, make it evaporate off. Sure. And that kind of thing. But, you know, some folks that are, you know, kind of pay attention to this stuff would say that when you do that, you're actually baking some of the sap into the wood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See what I'm saying? So, so there's some conflict there. Like, I mean, it certainly works. It's a good way to go ahead and get your briar done quick. It's great for a more inexpensive pipe, but you're not going to find Dunhill doing that.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, Yeah, a lot of the big companies, you know, certainly that have developed this over the years that make top shelf pipes, they're going to age theirs over time, typically through air, just air.
Gotcha.
You know, just kind of sitting in a barn somewhere, you know, edging their briar out. And that just helps, again, a lot of those natural kind of saps and fluids kind of drain out of there, evaporate, wick out of there. And then they have this more kind of clean, dry piece of briar that they can carve a pipe out of. So, and that's really, you know, in my opinion, kind of where a lot of the value comes. Value for a pipe, very subjective.
Yeah.
You know, you've got some companies that put a lot of focus on the finish, and like Savinelli, for instance, Italian company, most Italian designers, if you can think of other companies, you know, Armani, or, you know, a lot of these sunglass manufacturers or something, they're really focused on like modern style, kind of pushing the edge.
Sure.
So Savinelli's again are going to be, you know, they're going to focus a lot on kind of the finishes. And, but then you've got Peterson, real traditional Irish company. You kind of, you know, you could pick up a Peterson and it'd be real similar, you know, to a look that you might find in the 1930s or something, just real traditional style pipe. So people pay different for different types. And, you know, really you're paying for the quality of the briar, and a lot of folks, just because of the beauty of it, like the grain as well.
Yeah. Good deal.
Yeah. We could go on and on about all that.
No, anyway. You know, the thing is, you know, I think that probably next episode, you know, I'm going to pull out my pipe collection and kind of let you kind of explain.
You want to let me pick it apart?
Yeah, a little bit. And what I'll do is I'll take a picture of those pipes and put them up on the website.
That'd be awesome.
And that's countrysquireradio.podastery.com. I know some people have come in and asked about how to spell podastery. It's like monastery. It's PODASTERY.
Right.
Podastery.
Right. And if you knew Bo York, like, you would know how awesome that title is for anything he would make. So it's a perfect fit.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I thought of it while I was smoking some tobacco from the country square.
Really? Oh, there that's beautiful. I love it. It's inspiring, baby.
Good deal. All right. Well, so countrysquireradio.podastery.com, the website for the store.
It's thecountrysquireonline.com. And we've also got a Facebook page. Please go on there and like us.
Absolutely.
It's Country Squire. It's facebook.com/countrysquire1970. And again, you know, we mentioned this earlier, but like, we want this to be an interactive thing. Please email us your questions. If you got thoughts about how you would, like, you know, value a pipe, or kind of, you know, if you're a tobacco blender out there, have experimented some, want to talk about some of the things you do with blending tobacco, please email us at countrysquire1970@gmail.com. We'd love to work some of that in. So be great.
All right. Good deal. Thanks, JD.
Yeah. Had fun. Thanks, Bo.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.